Eclipse number 2 tomorrow, as you well know already. Hi, everybody. Thomas Miller, Fun Astrology Podcast. Thursday, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Oh, we are going to talk about the eclipse, and we are loaded today. And speaking of May 10th, May 10th, next Wednesday, we're doing another pop-up group reading. I think, as I'm recording this, we have one seat left. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be simulcast on YouTube and the Facebook group. You can participate just watching, just listening, and we will take some chats just like we do on Level Up. But if you would like to be one of the participants, in other words, that is asking questions, we actually had somebody new to astrology sign up the other day. And I assured her that this is not to put anybody on the spot. This is not a showcase of your reading prowess skills. In fact, if anything, it's a showcase of how we all work together to further our understanding and knowledge by learning from each other. So it's very much a shared group experience. Don't be intimidated at all of anything related to who else is there and what else is being said. If you say, "I simply don't understand that," then we'll stop and explain it. Perfect, because we learn more by doing that. Anyway, enough said. All the rest of the information is on the funastrology.com website, right at the top. Such a fun night. I can't wait. That's going to be a blast. Now, let's talk about this eclipse. And I was thinking, you know, if you were not convinced that the planets have some kind of an influence on life on Earth. In other words, if being in an emergency room or a classroom or a police station or wherever else observing people at the mall on a full moon didn't convince you, if the tides didn't convince you, if a Mercury retrograde didn't convince you, you'd have to say, are you convinced now? I mean, can we throw any more at the kitchen sink? Let's talk about the particulars of this eclipse. It is a penumbral eclipse. That means it's just on the faint edges of the shadow of the moon. This is the Earth in between the sun and the moon this time. Geography, if you're in Antarctica, basically it's a cone shape up to Siberia. And remember, this is penumbral. It's faint. It's not that big of a deal. Don't travel to Australia to see this. You should have done that on April 20th. It was spectacular from what I hear. But the energy is still in the sky, and it is in the chart. And remember, it is affecting us. As far as the times go, mine are set to Eastern United States. So it peaks at 1:34 p.m. tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo. It begins at 11:15. It will be clear by 3:30. The sun and the moon are at 14 degrees 58 minutes. The sun in Taurus, the moon in Scorpio. The declensions, the reason why this is a penumbral, is the sun is at 17 degrees 16 minutes south, and the moon is at 16 degrees 19 minutes north. Those are the ticky-tacky details. What else is in the chart? Well, we have some trines and sextiles. Saturn is in the chart, and it is trine to the south node of the moon in Scorpio. That, of course, puts it in a sextile to the north node of the moon up in Taurus. Saturn is at 5 degrees. The nodes are at 4 degrees. That is a very tight aspect. Pluto at 0 degrees Aquarius is square to that south node of the moon in Scorpio at 4 degrees. That makes it square to the north node in Taurus at 4 degrees. So here once again, the theme of the nodes of the moon are connecting the karmic blues brothers of Saturn and Pluto like we've seen since 2020. Here they are in this eclipse connected again, indirectly but still connected. And one of the things I thought of as I was just staring at the chart, sometimes that's what I just do, is stare at the chart. There is an anticipation in our world and a hope that somehow, some way, and hopefully soon, the white hats will ride in and clean all of this mess up, that all these secrets will be revealed, that the good guys will win. Now, that's subjective, right? You don't know, how do you define that, right? But there's this anticipation and this yearning out there that somehow whoever they are is going to clean up whoever they are. Well, I am 63 years young, and this has been the anticipation my whole life. Now, I'm not saying that it's not this time that it could be possible. But what I am looking at here in this chart of this lunar eclipse is that if there ever was a time, astrologically, perhaps it could be now. I mean, in addition to what we've just talked about, we have Neptune in Pisces, and it's only there for a couple of more years. And I know that sounds like a long time, but in the, you know, with the cosmic clock, it's not that long. And we have the Saturn and Pluto aspects that we've had since January, and the Saturn-Jupiter that we had in December 2020. And then Jupiter up in Aries in the last 3 degrees, getting ready to wrap up business in fire before it moves into Earth. And Uranus in Taurus holding true to its pattern of a big market drop and now all kinds of ripplings and rumblings in the United States banking system. All right, there are two interpretations of this eclipse. We're going to do that tomorrow. I'd like for you to think about some of these things that we've been talking about here and look at the chart if you can. Cast the chart for your time and just ponder on it yourself, because tomorrow we'll come back and talk about the mundane application, how it could play out for everybody, but then there are some really cool elements and aspects of interpretation for you and me. Think third house and ninth house, and what some of the things are that might be triggered that would give us opportunities in this eclipse. There's some really cool stuff in there. Have a wonderful pre-eclipse day, and I'll see you back here tomorrow, and we'll tie all of this together.